Blog Talk Radio.
Less detail the podcast on a Friday night, January 3rd, 2014. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and it is playoff time in the NFL. Wild card weekend is upon us. Tomorrow we will start playing games that actually count and working towards that ultimate goal of a Super Bowl championship. Jason, I know you're ready.
I'm ready with my picks. But this is like I said this on Wednesday, and I still mean it today. This is some of the least confidence that I have for a first round of the playoffs in as long as I can remember. And I don't know if this is the fear of playing with such a big lead in the picks against you. The only thing I know is we got 8 points on the line this week. I'm up by almost 13. So even if I manage to completely screw up every game and you win every game, I'll still go into the division round with a lead.
So. Yeah, I don't know if I'm really competing much for the season picks championship. I don't know. I don't have any hope that I can catch you. It's just so hopeless. You're so far ahead of me. You know, there's nothing I can do. I'm helpless like a deer in the woods.
Wow. I don't believe you for a minute with any of that. This is sort of the reverse psychology of the no pressure. Now it's just oh no, I'm done. Lord, take me now. I'm done. I've got nothing left. I know you. You've done all your research. Now, neither one of us, people should know, neither one of us know this week what the other one is picking, which means you've probably got picks already set, which means you're not going with the nuclear option of just deciding to disagree with me in every game. A little early to pull that one out, though, if I do say.
That's right. That's why I'm saying I'm not, you know, whatever happens in the picks is going to happen this week. I have my pick. I'm not going to wait for you to make your picks and try to go against you just for the hell of it. I know who I want. It might be what you want. It might not, but we're going to just let the chips fall where they may. Going to start off in a dome. We're going to go from best case scenario for comfort to worst. And we'll start tomorrow afternoon in Indianapolis, where the Kansas City Chiefs visit the AFC South champion Indianapolis Colts. These two teams did get together in week 16, where the Chiefs at home found a way to lose to Indianapolis 23-7. Oh, yeah, that was the game where I jumped on their bandwagon, of course. How could I forget? We said at the time this might be a playoff preview, and sure enough, here it is. And I'm going to start off on this one because it's the Chiefs, it's the bandwagon deal, and I feel like I have to take control. I have to overcome this monster somehow. If it's going to happen, I'm going to have to reach out and grab it by the throat and take control. So I'm taking control of this game. It's the Chiefs and the Colts. It's a pick'em. So it's straight up one-on-one, no point spread to worry about. Just take whichever team you think is going to win and advance in the playoffs, and I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm going to destroy that shit right now. I have hereby eliminated the Kansas City Chiefs from the playoffs. I don't have to worry about them anymore because after tomorrow they will be done because I am picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win this game. I know they haven't beat anyone all year. I know their best win on their schedule turns out to be week 3 at Philadelphia back when Philly didn't know how to win at home. I don't even think Nick Foles had been installed as a starter. I think that was still Michael Vick running around with his head cut off back there. But I'm still going with Andy Reid to find a way to pull it out. He's going to have a few tricks up his sleeve. You never know what he's going to pull out. He's going to have everything ready. It's the playoffs. Who are the real Colts even? I don't know if you know who the real Indianapolis Colts are for that matter. So it's going to be two teams. I don't really have a real handle on who's the real deal. We know the Colts have so many impressive victories. They can loan a few to Kansas City. They've got so many scouts on their wall. But they also have some really ugly losses as well. So who are the real Indianapolis Colts? I think Indianapolis maybe even figured out in the last few weeks how to use their running backs. I think their offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton, actually figured out what to do with Trent Richardson, and that is basically keep him as the back end, as the thunder combination of a lightning and thunder. And that's great, but the issue is that your lightning is Donald Brown. And he's okay, but really, you know, I don't, when I think of awesome thunder and lightning running back combinations in the NFL, I don't imagine Donald Brown as the head of that. I don't see Donald Brown and Trent Richardson forming a great tag team combination. So I think that's going to grind to a halt tomorrow against Kansas City. I think Jamaal Charles is going to step out there and show them what a real running back is made of. And I also, on Indianapolis' positive side, I do like that they've smartened up and demoted Darius Heyward-Bey from the wide receiver core. But just because he's bad doesn't mean the guys you're replacing him with are any good. So Andrew Luck might fall behind early to Jamaal Charles and Alex Smith nicking and dunking his way. And then he's going to have to make use of a complete no-name wide receiver core, you know, Griff Whalen and Derek Rogers and LaVon Brazil. I don't trust these guys to mount the comeback. I know Andrew Luck is the king of comebacks already. I don't like him to pull it out this time. You even got a Pro Football Focus stat on this one. Andrew Luck, only 3 positive grades in the 9 games since Reggie Wayne got hurt. Does not look good for Indianapolis and Andrew Luck. I am taking the Chiefs.
I love this game for the whole angle of you and the Chiefs. That it didn't matter who you picked. If you picked the Chiefs, they would screw you. And if you picked the Colts, yeah, the Chiefs would still screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Which leaves it up to me now, being, okay, now what's the angle here? Am I going to pick the Chiefs and ride right off the bandwagon cliff with you? Or am I going to pick the Colts and all but guarantee that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to screw you? You're going to get screwed by the Chiefs, and I have the Colts.
Oh, no.
So you could X that one out probably right now, because you and the Chiefs have this just, I can't even call it a love of, it's a hate affair. It's not even a love affair. It's the opposite of that. And whatever you have, it's the opposite of a love affair is what you have with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't really trust, and you pointed this out, I mean, Indianapolis, tons of flaws on offense. I don't trust anybody in that offense other than Andrew Luck. The Chiefs have proven if they play anybody who's capable of punching them back, they're going to fold up. I mean, they went through a 3-game stretch where they played the 3 best teams on their schedule. Well, one team the same time twice, was Denver and San Diego. It was the easiest chance to see what this team was made of. Best stretch of their schedule, they did not perform. Even in the games where they were rolling up all the points like they did against San Diego, they still found a way for their quote-unquote good defense to look good, and they looked terrible. This game they played last was in Kansas City. Colts up and down the field on them. Ran it, threw it, sacked them, picks, fumble recoveries. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I don't think that the Chiefs purposely tanked that game, because you can't purposely look that bad. I mean, you can try. But for a, you know, the Chiefs' backups should have beaten the Chargers. So we know that the Chiefs, you know, even with the backups in the game, were able to mount a nice-looking game against San Diego. So they do try. I mean, their effort isn't their problem. Love the Colts here at home. Got an X factor for us.
I like the fact that Brandon Albert's coming back from injury for Kansas City, their big starting left tackle. He's going to have to hold down Robert Mathis, who's had a renaissance over there for the Indianapolis Colts, one of the best 3-4 outside linebackers in the game once again. But I think Brandon Albert coming back is going to really neutralize him. They're going to need to neutralize him to give Alex Smith time to do his little crossing pattern magic on the Colts.
Well, it's funny. I'm going with the guy who you completely threw under the bus, which makes this even worse for you. I'm going with Donald Brown, who the Colts have discovered, and his sort of breakout game for the Colts, oh, by the way, happened to be against the Chiefs, did his best Jamaal Charles impersonation on a screen pass that he took in, took a long run into the end zone. Again, the Chiefs, with this so-called good defense, have sure found a way to look pretty awful in big, long stretches this year, as long as they're not, you know, they look great when they're playing Jeff Toole and backup quarterbacks. But I like the Colts to pound it on the ground, and because the receivers are so awful, they're going to have to utilize those running backs in the passing game, too. I see a lot of that all game long. I'm going with Donald Brown.
Wow, we're heads up right off the bat, and I'm actually on the Chiefs side. It's, wow, going to be crazy right off the bat tomorrow. And now it's time to break out your parkas and get cold. The next three games are going to be cold. This might be the warmest of them in Philadelphia in the 20s. New Orleans Saints, all their problems on the road. Now they get to go on the road in cold. The odds are stacked against the Saints, as they have to visit the NFC East champion Philadelphia Eagles in the city of brotherly love. Predictably, the Saints are the underdog here. Only 2.5 points, though. Maybe a little love for them in the public betting eye. New Orleans giving 2.5 at Philadelphia. Jason, who you got?
So I've got the Eagles. No way I'm taking the Saints on the road in the cold, minus Pierre Thomas. So now your best running back is also hurt. Darren Sproles disappeared off the face of the earth. Mark Ingram likes to puff out his chest and look awesome in small stretches. I still don't know what he was doing in one game where every time he ran, just ripped off a big chunk of yardage. It's like, hey, look at me. I'm like the greatest running back in the NFL. And he's promptly disappeared ever since that game. Eagles have gotten over their home problems. I mean, they couldn't win a game at home to save their lives, but they managed to finish strong at home. At home, in the cold, I mean, the Saints are horrible on the road. I mean, Drew Brees has never won a playoff game on the road. I don't even know if the Saints franchise has ever won a playoff game on the road. Just does not look good for them. I'm going with kind of chalk pick here. Although, like you said, the line's kind of shifted a little bit towards New Orleans. Maybe people are getting a little jumpy. Not me. This is one of the few I've liked all week. I mean, this is a Saints franchise with very similar talent on its team that went to Seattle, a 7-9 team a few years ago, and managed to shift the bet in the playoffs. Philadelphia, much better team than that one, can run it for sure, and they can throw it. I don't know if the Saints are going to be able to match that. So it's going to be if Drew Brees can't get going, and I doubt he will, this is going to get ugly. I actually like the Eagles here pretty big.
Oh, man. How interesting is tomorrow going to be? Taking the Saints to win. I don't even know exactly why, but I know what I do and do want to trust. I know that I'm inclined to trust Sean Payton and Drew Brees because they're the ones that have actually put it together. They actually have won a ring together. There's so much love and trust going out for Chip Kelly and what he's done with the Eagles. A bit of a rocky start to the season, and then they've slowly put it all together as Nick Foles ascended to the top of the mountain there. And coinciding with this division title last week at Dallas, which may have gone a different way if Tony Romo was playing, who knows. But a lot of love for Philly all of a sudden, and a lot of acting as if they've been so good the whole way and there was never any doubt of what Chip Kelly was capable of. There's plenty of doubt, folks, and I'm going to go ahead and trust the Saints in this spot. The Saints are actually the last non-wild card Super Bowl champ. This has nothing to do with this game because they're a wild card team, but I still found it a very interesting little stat that I heard somewhere this week that 2009 Bounty Gate New Orleans Saints team, that's the last non-wild card team to win a Super Bowl. So those of you thinking about putting some prop bets down, it looks like one of these eight teams that are playing between tomorrow and Sunday, that's who you want to go with to win the title, because those teams that get the automatic bye, they don't seem to be doing it the last 5 years or so. But back to New Orleans and Philadelphia, I think I like the defensive line matchup for New Orleans. I like Junior Gallette and Cameron Jordan against the Philadelphia O-line. I think that's going to be a big factor. I think, obviously, they have to as well stop and try to slow down LeSean McCoy. It's a lot easier said than done. New Orleans road woes versus Philadelphia's stage fright. There's, you got to come up with some excuse for why Philly was playing so bad at home to begin the year. I think it was a little stage fright with under the new offense, bright lights being shown on them, Andy Reid not being there anymore. I think there was a bit of a spotlight situation. Obviously, Michael Vick wilted under it. Nick Foles maybe struggled a little bit at the beginning, but obviously really got it going once he settled in and got comfortable. But here we go, back to the main stage. You can't get much brighter than the playoffs, and the spotlight will be on Philadelphia in prime time. But New Orleans road woes definitely a thing to worry about for the Saints. There are well-documented protection problems as well for New Orleans. That worries me. I do not have New Orleans blowing out Philly in this game, but I did actually like the fact that Pierre Thomas is out, as you mentioned, because I think that's going to make New Orleans rely more on Mark Ingram and Darren Sproles in the run game, and I think that's actually going to work in New Orleans' favor. And I do like Drew Brees to light it up in the sky against Philadelphia. I like this stat that Drew Brees is 2-3 and temperatures of 32 degrees or less. I would have thought he'd be like 0-1, you know, forever. But I kind of like that stat from ESPN's Football Today. I can see him going for about 320, 330 yards in that weather tomorrow. Nice and cold, icy. Just throwing it up and getting some big bombs and surprising the Eagles DBs and putting a little shock in their system. I like the Saints to spring the upset. Who's your X factor for the New Orleans-Philly games?
Well, you talked about that suspect New Orleans offensive line. So I need the Eagles to get after Drew Brees. I'm going with Trent Cole. Last home game, Trent Cole against the Bears, questionable offensive line, although they've been better, racked up three sacks in that 50-something to 14 just blowout of the Bears. Eagles underrated on defense. I just completely love the Eagles here. Who do you have as your X factor?
Eagles free safety Earl Wolf is a game time decision with a knee injury. Here's the deal with him. If he can't play or if he's limited, they're going to have to roll out Patrick Chung back there as their free safety. I've seen Patrick Chung play. He's a former Panther. He's bad. I mean, he's really bad. Please, Earl Wolf, don't go. I hope the cold stiffens your knee up and you can't go, and we get to see some Pat Chung tomorrow. Everybody, Pat Chung tonight.
So is on that Sunday, an X factor? I mean, you're actually – that's like a negative X factor. That's like a guy you want to be bad. That's a new one for us.
Yes.
You're actually –
I think I've pulled something like that before. I like the
X factor of awfulness this week.
On to Sunday afternoon, and the Chargers and the Bengals, the AFC North champion Cincinnati Bengals, biggest point spread of the week. They are giving 7 at home against the Chargers. And I'll make this one quick because I think this is the lock of the week, the blowout of the week. I will take the Bengals to step all over the San Diego Chargers. We all know about the Bengals' domination at home, 8-0 at home this season. At least 34 points in their last 5 home games. They rule at home. Something's got to give. San Diego 4-0 in their last 4 games. So battle of trends clashing right there. And the interesting thing about that is the last loss that San Diego had was at home in Week 13 against Cincinnati. Weird game. I was looking at my review of that game, and Cincinnati was trying some weird stuff. They were coming off of their bye, and they came out with a lot of different looks, a lot of play action and read option and some trick gadgetry. And then at the end of the game, when they needed a big play, they just said, okay, here's Andy Dalton down the middle to A.J. Green, and nobody was around him, and that was the ball game. So I think this is Andy Dalton to A.J. Green, like, ad nauseum. You know, I can see A.J. Green get like 12 catches in this game. I'm not feeling San Diego with their newfound reliance on the run game. Ryan Matthews, I was shocked to read, ever since King Dunlap returned for San Diego as their left tackle, Ryan Matthews in the last 5 weeks has led the NFL in rushes. Really? Ryan Matthews is the man who's got the most rushing attempts in the NFL in the last 5 weeks? I mean, they went, you know, 4-0 in their last four games, so there's some success there, but I still don't really trust that one. Which O can go in the snow? I think there's going to be some snow in that forecast, and am I going to trust the California guys, the Chargers, or the Bengals to grind it out in the snow? Yeah, I'm going to trust the Bengals, and I'm going to give that 7, and I don't think it's going to be close.
Well, don't we have some drama this week? But not in this game.
Oh.
God, no way. Cincinnati squish. This is not even going to be. I had you going there for a minute. I actually think if I would have had the Chargers, you would have just kind of hung your head and just sighed, because this would be, for people who don't know us, this would be perfect for me to just pick out one of these completely out of left field, right out of my ass kind of picks. No way. Again, another chalk pick here for me, this one, but this is lock of the week, blowout of the week. Nice run by the Chargers to make the playoffs. They got a little lucky, you know, but this is, like I said, this is going to be much better, in my opinion, watching the Chargers get blown out than watching the Steelers get euthanized, because that's about where that team's headed. That's a team that's just old and decrepit and just in need of being put down. At least San Diego's going to go out. They're going to show a little fight. But it's not going to be enough. This 7 feels like a gift. Cincinnati big here. And it's going to be in the snow. I don't expect there to be a ton of scoring. But if Cincinnati gets to 27, they'll probably win by 2 touchdowns, no problem here. So, love the Bengals. Not a lot to break down in this one. Too good at home. Too good at the defense. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. San Diego's not going to be able to handle this. Gives me an X factor in this game. No Geno Atkins. He's been out for a while for the Bengals, which means there's going to be a lot more pressure on those two interior tackles. I'm going with the two interior tackles for the Cincinnati Bengals to stuff the middle, free up those edge rushers. It might not be an X factor that you see in the stats, but Pico and Thompson, two guys up the middle, I'm going with them.
Ring the bell! We finally have our first dual agreeing X-Factors.
My X-Factor
for this game is Domantas Peko stepping up and shutting down Ryan Matthews in that newfound Chargers run game and filling in for the absence of Geno Atkins. Congratulations.
That's surprising, considering the number of years we've been doing this with X-Factors, that we actually have the same X-Factor. We're going to lose
first
this game. Chargers are going to win. Chargers are going to win now.
No, not just that.
Ryan
Peko's
going to,
like, break his leg on the first play of the game.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews is going for a $175.
You heard it here first, folks. And the main event of the weekend, Sunday afternoon, on the as frozen as it can get tundra of Lambeau Field, it's the San Francisco 49ers against the NFC North champion Green Bay Packers. I'll let you describe exactly how cold it's supposed to be, and you can fill us all in on the atmosphere that's going to go down for that game. The Niners are the public favorite. They love the 49ers. They have the better record at 12-4 to the Packers 8-7-1. And the 49ers are the darlings. They are the 2.5-point favorites on the road at Green Bay. Jason, what's your pick?
Well, just to give an idea on the cold, 2 days ago they were forecasting 7 degrees kickoff temperature with snow showers. That has been revised to a kickoff temperature of -5 with wind. -5 kickoff temperature with wind. I was at that Green Bay Atlanta game that I was the coldest I've ever been in my life. Kickoff temperature for that game was 13, a balmy 13. We had a chance to go to this game for free, and we said no. My wife could have gotten tickets through her work. They said no. No way we are going to this game. I've got the San Francisco 49ers. I am all chalk. I'm Mr. Chalk this week. Dug into the numbers on this one. I don't normally do that. I liked San Francisco all week. I was actually looking for a little more reassurance as to why I was doing it, and it was pretty much nothing surprised me. Both teams, everything offensively, and it's very close in the rushing stats, very close edge to San Francisco, but offensively, Green Bay, far superior team. Through the air, almost on the ground, about 4 yards less per game, but total yards, scoring offense, I mean, everything leans that way. Unfortunately, it goes the complete opposite way on defense, and when you're playing in 25 below wind chills, it's not going to be easy to throw the ball. It's not going to be easy to kick the ball. This is going to be a very defensive game, and I'm going with the better defense here, so I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers here. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. San Francisco hasn't, I mean, other than that playoff game last year, you know, and that's got to be a weird thing for the Packers, that the Kaepernick runs all over them. They're in the playoffs last year, then the Packers all season they game planned to stop that run, and then he throws for 400 against them in week one. So I don't know what they're expecting. I don't think Kaepernick's throwing for 400, but I do trust Frank Gore a lot more, and I trust that San Francisco defense. So I'm going with the Niners.
Yeah, after Cap murdered them in perfect conditions last year in the playoffs with his legs, came back and threw for 400 yards and beat him up pretty bad in week one of this season with his arm. Now let's see what he does under some sub-zero conditions. I'm going to take the Packers. I don't think that this is what Kaepernick and Coach Insane planned on when they planned to come back to the playoffs and make their way through the NFC and make a return trip to the Super Bowl. They didn't foresee a situation like this. So I'm just going to go ahead and go and pick against – this is basically against Colin Kaepernick. This is why I did not pick San Francisco to come back to the Super Bowl. Hell, you didn't pick him to even make the playoffs again, but this is why, because he doesn't have this kind of game experience. He doesn't have these kind of, you know, situations that he's gone through, and you know, I don't like his ability to perform over Aaron Rodgers in this spot, and I'm just going to trust the quarterback that's much better, that's an MVP candidate, that's ready to go after knocking the rust off last week in Chicago. And Aaron Rodgers has a 95.2 passer rating in 4 games under 21 degrees. Cold doesn't seem to bother him that much. I'm going to trust the Packers. Jason, who's your X factor?
Well, in a game that I expect to be all about defense, hopefully on both sides of the ball, and I don't think this is going to be a very high-scoring game, I'm going with the guy who's the hardest hitter out on the field. I'm going with Dante Whitner to stuff the middle and get after Aaron Rodgers from the safety spot.
Nice, Dante Hidner. I didn't think you would have the same one as me on this one because I'm really digging deep. I'm going to go with a little-known defensive tackle for the Packers named Mike Daniels, and it's because Green Bay has fallen off so badly on run defense over the course of the season. Johnny Jolly's out. B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, they need some help. Those fat boys were killing it in the first quarter of the year or so, and they've been getting killed ever since. They need somebody to step up. Mike Daniels, big bowling ball dude, 6 foot, 300 pounds. Stick your head in there, son. Hit somebody. Make a play. I'm counting on you. I'm desperate, as you can tell by some of my picks. We are out of time. We got all of our picks in, even with our X Factors. We are going to play some music and get on the other side of this break. The live show has come to an end, but if you want to listen for the rest of this, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search for Enough Less Detailed, the podcast. And you can listen on the archive page of this show, blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. All right, that brings us to the after show portion of the program.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, I find it really interesting that the cold, I mean, really, if this was being played, even in Green Bay, if this was game was being played and it was 35 degrees, this might be a whole different ballgame. I'm really not going to worry that much about the weather. I mean, Green Bay has played two really awful weather games at home. They played against Atlanta, who they had to come from behind and they barely beat, and Pittsburgh, who came up here and beat them. Now, granted, both of those games were with Matt Flynn. Maybe they go a different way with Aaron Rodgers, but neither one of those teams were the caliber of San Francisco. Neither one of them. Neither one of them play the defense like San Francisco plays, and neither one of them really run the ball or do anything like San Francisco can. San Francisco is a good team. And Colin Kaepernick, not a lot of people know this, is from central Wisconsin, the area of the country that I live in. So I think he knows what cold is.
Oh, okay. Well, he can prove it to me then. I'll certainly bow down and give him his props if he comes through in his scenario, but not so much that I knew where he came from, which I didn't. I had no idea, but more just his overall just experience. He doesn't have big game experience at all in college, as he played at Nevada, and he doesn't have too many big game experiences before he got on the big stage last year. So this is more of a deal with me where this is why I was protesting against picking San Fran. You know, a lot of people love San Francisco to return to the Super Bowl this year because of the impressive run that they went on last year. And you obviously more protesting than I did because you didn't even take them to make the playoffs. But my protest against them was simply, I like Kaepernick a lot. I think he was the right choice to make over Alex Smith. But I'll pick him to win a Super Bowl eventually. It won't be this year. It might not be next year. It might be in a couple of years. I just don't think he's gotten enough experience yet. So this would be a great experience for him to pick up whether he wins or loses.
Well, San Francisco went through a stretch this year that made both of us look right because Kaepernick looked awful, and San Francisco as a team, they were just not playing well. I mean, Indianapolis beat them, Seattle beat them, Carolina beat them, and now we look down and we go, oh, wait, well, I guess losing to those guys isn't so bad. Those are, you know, three of the better teams in football right now. Those are three playoff teams, you know, and actually three division-winning playoff teams, which is shocking considering that the Panthers were one of those. And that game that they played, that 10-9 game, nobody could tell if that was a fluke. Was that just Carolina playing some out-of-their-mind defense? That was right in the middle of the whole Panthers resurgence when we weren't really sure what to make of that Panther team. But we know they can play some defense. I'm, from a football standpoint, would love to see San Francisco, Seattle. I want to see that game. That's, you know, everybody. That's the rematch I want to see. I do not want to see the Packers go up to Seattle just to get housed, or, you know, or there's some ugly scenarios considering that Seattle's waiting for somebody, you know. And I think of all the matchups that could go up to Seattle, I think just from a pure football standpoint, San Francisco. I want to see San Francisco go up there. And I want to see it next week. I don't want to see it in the championship game because I really don't want there to be any chance that the Niners make the Super Bowl again. We've seen that. We've been there. Don't want to see that again. I'd rather see it next week and then have Seattle play, you know, either Carolina or whoever goes to Carolina next week, which would, in my theory, have to be the Eagles because the Eagles have to win for that to happen.
Right, because if New Orleans pulls it off, they'll be headed up to Seattle.
Right. And we know how that goes, too.
Yeah. But Green Bay, what if we're watching, like, I think Aaron Rodgers probably is already a Hall of Fame quarterback, as nebulous as that definition can be. But what if we're watching one of those postseasons? What if he's about to knock off the 49ers, knock off the next playoff team, which is which will be Seattle if Philly wins, and if New Orleans wins, will be Carolina, and then goes to Seattle and beats them at home and makes it to another Super Bowl. You talk about a legacy postseason. You talk about showing everybody just how damn good you are. Here are how big my balls are. I come back from injury. I beat the Bears in Soldier Field to lead my team back to the playoffs. Then I knock off the 49ers, the vaunted 49ers. Then I knock off the Panthers, one of the best teams in the league. Then I go to Seattle and beat them and make it back to the Super Bowl. This might be the beginning of one of those special runs. You never know. So, you know, San Fran, they're in position. They made the playoffs. They look like they were possibly going to not make it, but they get everything together. They go 12-4. As weak as they looked at some parts of the year, they still went 12-4. You know, how weak can you really be? But what if this is, you know, Aaron Rodgers getting ready to show everybody just how valuable he is?
Well, all I can say is this. I mean, he did that once already. I mean, that sixth seed team, that Green Bay team that had to win late, had to win every game, even had to get some help at some points to make the playoffs, and then went on that run on the road. That was a much better team. That was actually a really good wild card team that, you know, discovered a running game at the perfect time. Aaron Rodgers was playing at that MVP level. This is a tough spot for anybody this week. But, yeah, no, if Aaron Rodgers pulls this off, then more power to him, because I would not have seen that coming in this spot. But, yeah, you're right. It's like the storybook thing. He comes back, beats the Bears, beats the arch rival, you know, just comes back from being injured to slay the dragon and keep them out of the playoffs, you know, after they – and it was funny because little symmetry there, because they had to beat the Bears to get into the playoffs in that Super Bowl season. Bears could have kept them out just by winning that last game. Then the Packers go to Chicago and win the NFC Championship game. So this could also just be a case that Aaron Rodgers just loves to whip it out and, you know, beat the Bears over the head with his dong.
Oh, that's clearly the case.
And his roommate, allegedly.
No, he pulled out the Manti Te'o defense. He's not K. He's far from it.
My bold prediction here is that within the next few weeks, Aaron Rodgers is going to have some arm candy. I think the Packers or somebody's going to – his publicist, somebody's going to – you need to get a very hot, very public girlfriend, like, right now, and have her in the booth for your next game. I just bold prediction.
As long as it's not Paris Hilton, because that's just been passed around between too many people.
That'd be the
Ben Roethlisberger defense as well after – oh. That'd be the Ben Roethlisberger way to go as well after he was discovered as, you know, being too rapey. Next thing you know, oh, look, he's married and starting a family. Wow, we must have been really wrong about Ben Roethlisberger. He must really be a nice guy.
Right, you know, it's all public image and PR, and yeah. That's fine. Great. Good for you, Ben. stay out of the restrooms. Watch where you take your motorcycle, and, you know, all of a sudden everybody's clean and everything's great. But yeah, you don't want those kinds of rumors coming out about your franchise quarterback. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers was kind of sloughed off, and it was like, you know, whatever. No, I definitely like, I, you know, his denial. I like women. Okay.
That's good. I like women a lot.
A lot.
Far from it.
Lots. Lots.
So I have a legitimate question. If Cincinnati and either KC or Indy advance this weekend, all three of those teams have 11-5 records. Who goes where? I'm legitimately not sure about that.
Well, it's based on seeding. So Kansas City is five, you know.
Okay.
KC is five. So if KC, you know, if it goes the way I say it'll go, which is Indy and Cincinnati, but if both the division winners win, then your lowest division winner, which is Indianapolis, would go to Denver.
Okay.
Which would be a little symmetry of its own, you know, a little balance, because that was where Peyton Manning went and had his just horrible game going home. So I'm sure Denver would love, like, come on, guys, why don't you bring that this way and see how it goes for you. Yeah, over here. And then Cincinnati would go to New England, which I would love to see the Bengals go up to New England and just throttle the Patriots. Because I just think nothing will make me happier this post. I will puke if the Patriots win the Super Bowl. I need somebody to go into Foxborough and just beat the living crap out of that team. That is the worst two seed I have ever seen.
Yeah,
that
might
be exaggerating a little bit, but that's just, yeah, I want to see somebody go up there and show them who they really are, that they are who we thought they were, and just beat the living daylights out of that team. And Cincinnati go up there and they get after Tom Brady. They can put him on his ass. I want to see that a lot. I want to see like 8 sacks of Brady in the first half. I just want to see him go into like full diva meltdown. I'm envisioning this in my mind. I want to see this so bad. But I don't see the Chiefs going there and doing that. Ugh.
I don't know what to expect out of the Chiefs, obviously. That's why I picked them, to make sure that they get eliminated. I don't have to worry about them the rest of the year.
Yeah, but if Cincinnati wins like we think they will, then they are actually, Cincinnati's the number 3 seed. They're guaranteed to go to New England. So please, Cincinnati, you have to win.
Yeah, we think that's going to be easy, which scares the hell out of me, because it's never as easy as we think it is. You know, no matter what the situation, if we agree that it's going to be easy in the playoffs, usually it goes the other way.
Every once in a while, though. I mean, like, remember when the Chiefs went to Baltimore, or when the Chiefs played the Ravens, when they snuck in as a wild card a few years ago, and, I mean, Jamal Charles runs, like, a 50-yard touchdown to start the game, and it's like, oh, no, we should have had the Chiefs. And then Baltimore didn't let them score the rest of the game and just crushed them.
Yeah, I distinctly remember that game, because I picked the fucking Chiefs.
Oh, maybe
that
that's why
Kansas
I remember
City.
It, too. Yeah. But
was
I had
Kansas City, Jamal Charles, like the first – yes, you did.
Yeah.
Like the first touch Jamal Charles had, he ran like an 80-yard touchdown. And I'm like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. And it's like Baltimore said, you know what, these guys don't belong in the field with us. And they just played like that the rest of the way.
It was like, oh, it's going to be like that. Okay. You guys, we let you have yours. Now it's our turn.
Right. Ray Lewis obviously gave some speech on the sideline about, you know, killing somebody, and that was the end of that.
Well, he would know, allegedly, about at least witnessing, allegedly, things like that. But, hey, you could win every – you could go 3-1, 4-0 this week against me, and you could be you cut that lead in half.
Well, the funniest part is that I didn't set out to – you know, differ with you on 3 games. I legitimately made my picks independent of you, and we just happened to disagree on 3 of the 4.
Yeah.
And even with that, we found a way to have the exact same X factor on the game that we agree on.
Yeah, I dug through it, and I was like, you know, no Geno Atkins. They're going to need to stuff that middle, and it's going to be those two guys. You singled out one guy, I singled out, you know, I doubled out, I guess I can't say singled out, 2. But, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you could really put a dent in this lead of mine, or this could get ugly quick.
Or I could get completely dented. Either way, it's playoff football. It's finally here. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I cannot wait. Even though I'll be working and I won't be able to see anything live, I'll still be able to see it on tape delay, and I'll have to accept that for what it is. So this broadcast is copyrighted. We'll be back with a recap on next Wednesday, the 8th. Our picks are not on the blog yet, but they will be shortly. And when they are, you will go to inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com to see them. You can email the show, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. hey, write in maybe some ideas for the show as we get ready for the off season as well. And on Twitter, I'm at IMLDDre. Jason's at IMLDJTG. Enjoy your playoff football, folks. We'll see you next Wednesday.